So what is forgiveness? I now love this first line. Forgiveness recognizes what you thought your brother did to you has not occurred. There was a time, of course, when I did not love that line because I perceived it as denial, right? If somebody, quote, did something to me, you know, let's say somebody stole money. Let's just pick something. Somebody stole money from me. To say that did not happen just felt like denial, like burying your head in the sand. And to me, denial is not the way to awaken. But I have learned since then through my own experience what this line really means and why I misunderstood it before. I misunderstood it before because I misunderstood what I am. That was the crux of the misunderstanding, just like it's the crux of every misunderstanding, right? It's the misunderstanding about who we are is the foundation of all misunderstanding, the foundation of all misperception. And that was, of course, the foundation of me misunderstanding this particular sentence. Forgiveness recognizes what you thought your brother did to you has not occurred. It doesn't mean that this did not happen in experience one body personality to another body personality, right? I mean, there may have been a body that snuck into a bedroom, opened a drawer, found some hidden money, took the hidden money and snuck out, right? We don't have to say that didn't happen, which is why this is not a denial, not a burying the head in the sand, right? We don't have to say that didn't happen. He didn't actually take the money or she didn't actually take the money, right? That's not the key. That's not the key in this sentence. The key in this sentence is the word you. Forgiveness recognizes what you thought your brother did to you has not occurred. Who are you? That's the key. If I think of myself as the possessor of money, that's my temporary identity. We have so many identities, it's ridiculous. We don't just have the identity of our name, like I am Regina, right? We don't just have, or our sex, I am female. We have so many identities. That is becoming extremely clear to me lately. One of those identities is possessor of money. I am the possessor of money. That's my identity. I am the possessor of money. And now someone else has taken that money. I am no longer the possessor of money. Yeah, there's a loss. There's a loss. But is possessor of money what I am? If I really look and pay attention to what I am, if I close my eyes and I distinguish the difference between thoughts that come and go and emotions that come and go and experiences that come and go and that which is what I am, which is always here, constant, absolutely non-changing, always present. And I get clear that that's what I am. That's what I was when I was 5. That's what I was when I was 10, 20, 30. I've always been this. As everything else has changed, even my own personal opinions have changed. You know, when I was 5, I wasn't the possessor of money. So as my identities have even changed, right? This is constant. This is really what I am. And as I get very, very clear that this is what I am, and then look at that, did my brother do anything to me? Has what I am changed at all? Isn't it exactly the same whether there's money there or not money there? Does it experience any offense whatsoever? Is there ever any change in it? And if you really, really look at what you are, the answer is always no change. Nothing has happened, right? Nothing. So this is what forgiveness recognizes. You don't have to deny that a certain experience seemed to occur and form, right? You're just giving no value to that experience because it didn't affect you at all. Forgiveness recognizes that what you thought your brother did to you has not occurred. There has been no effect, no change at all. Of course in Miracles uses the language of the word sin. Sin is when you think someone is guilty of something, right? So whether it's you or someone else. So, you know, if you're identified as the possessor of money, if that's your current temporary identification, and then somebody takes the money, right? Then you may think they sinned. Right? They did something wrong. But A Course in Miracles says, what is sin except a false idea about God's Son? You see, it's telling you right there. You will only see sin if you're identified with an idea rather than aware of your true self. If I'm identified with the idea that I am possessor of money, then I will see sin. But if I know who I am, there is no effect, and sin is impossible. I mean, wouldn't sin have to have an effect? Therefore, if there is no effect, there can be no sin. So again, the only confusion at the root of all confusion, the only misperception at the root of all misperception, the only mistake at the root of all mistake is, who or what am I? When we are clear on that, it's also clear there have been no effects, and that way nothing has happened. Therefore, there is no sin. And that is forgiveness, just seeing correctly. Seeing correctly instead of seeing through our own mistaken ideas. What is sin except a false idea about God's Son? Forgiveness merely sees its falsity, right? Again, it's not the denial of it's false that this, I'll say Bob stole from Cindy. We'll just make up some names. I don't have to deny that it's false that Bob came in and took money from me, Cindy. I'll be Cindy. I don't have to deny that experience. What I have to deny is that I am the possessor of money, or I am the person who is always taken advantage of. Or I am the person that never picks the right friends. These ideas that I have about who I am, that's the falsity. I'm the unaffected awareness presence that is the same now when there was money in that drawer as after when there is not money in that drawer. No change has occurred. So the falsity is whatever personal identification I would have that would cause me to see my brother as sinning. In fact, the funny thing is this has nothing to do with my brother at all. When you really, really, really look at forgiveness, it has nothing to do with anyone but you. It's always about your misidentification. So forgiveness merely sees its falsity, the falsity of my identification, the falsity of the idea about who I am, and therefore lets it go. Wait a minute. I'm not the possessor of money. Wait a minute. I'm not the person who always picks the wrong friends. Wait a minute. I'm not the one everybody always takes advantage of. I'm the unaffected awareness. That's the same now as before. And then there's nothing to hold on to, right? There's no sin. There's no effects. There's no sin. Let's look at the unforgiving thought. An unforgiving thought is one which makes a judgment that it will not raise to doubt. I'm going to read that again with another word in place of doubt. An unforgiving thought is one which makes a judgment that it will not raise to inquiry. It makes a judgment, it decides it's true, and it never questions it. It never practices root cause inquiry. It never practices the Byron Katie inquiry. It never practices the choose again inquiry. It never practices any other form of inquiry. It never practices the self-inquiry, even. Who am I? What am I? It never practices that. It doesn't practice any type of inquiry at all. That's an unforgiving thought. An unforgiving thought is one which makes a judgment that it will not raise to doubt. It will not raise to inquiry. And then it goes on to say, the mind is closed. The close is, I'm sure I'm right. I'm right. This should not have happened. He should not be that way. It should be different than it is. Right? I am right, and I will not question this. That's a closed mind. In spite of how painful it is. Yeah, Barb says, and it's painful. In spite of how painful it is, the way I'm seeing, I'm certain I'm right, and I will not question this. Byron Katie says, are you sure it's true? And you say, hell yeah. Are you absolutely certain it's true? Yes! That's a closed mind. I refuse to look another way. An unforgiving thought is one which makes a judgment that it will not raise to doubt, although it is not true. The mind is closed and will not be released. Then it goes on to say, the thought protects projection, which means I believe again that my perception is correct, tightening its chains, so that distortions are more veiled and more obscure, less easily accessible to doubt. What this means to me is the longer I believe a perception without questioning it, the harder it's going to be to raise it to question. And the reason for that is I begin to identify with that. This becomes a part of who I am. I am the one who was ripped off by Bob, right? So the longer we hold on to an idea, the longer we hold on to a pain, the more challenging it's going to be to raise it to doubt, the more challenging it's going to be to inquire into. What that says to me as a bit of sincerity, right? I don't want to call myself a person, as a bit of sincerity that is willing to awaken to truth. What that says to me is the sooner I inquire into anything that's causing me any kind of pain, the better. The instant I feel that, that's the time to inquire. The earlier I inquire, the easier it's going to be to see through it and let it go. And that's why, you know, sometimes people have these experiences when they're, you know, 13 years old and now they're 65 years old and they're still like, oh my God, you know, I was raped by my uncle, right? And people, you know, of course, most people accept that pain as natural, but for those of us who realize that happened so many years ago, you can just let go of it now. You know, why can't they let go of something that happened so many years ago? The answer is it's become a part of the identity. The longer you hold on to something, the harder it is to inquire into it. Therefore, the sooner we inquire when we feel that little pain, that little the better. That's a very, very positive lesson to me, right? A very, very positive lesson. The thought protects projection, tightening its chains so that distortions are more veiled and more obscure, less easily accessible to doubt, and further kept from reason. What can come between a fixed projection and the aim that it has chosen as its wanted goal? And the aim is seeing myself as something other than what I truly am. It doesn't even matter what I see myself as. You know? The pitiful, shameful victim. You know, that's not pleasant, right? I'm the pitiful, shameful victim. And the shame follows me throughout my entire life. Right? But the ego, the mind, prefers that to the truth. Forgiveness is simply being clear on the truth about what I am. It has nothing to do with events in the world. You know, forgiveness is not seeing sin and then pardoning them. It has nothing to do at all with outward perception. It has everything to do with my identification. Who am I? What am I? Have I been affected? And so every time we practice forgiveness, we are letting go of false identification. Regardless of the situation. Sometimes people can't understand. I've been, you know, watching Byron Katie lately, and sometimes with Byron Katie, people cannot understand how you could forgive something such as, you know, your uncle raping you at age 13. You know, there's just some things that are too awful, too sinful to be forgiven. Or another thing that people find very difficult to forgive is the fact that I have cancer now and I'm dying now. You know, the doctors can't save me. I'm dying. This is a reason to suffer until I die, right? And that makes sense to everyone. Yeah, cancer, that's very real. She's dying. She has a brain tumor. They can't fix it. That's very real. And Katie says, there's nothing that can't be brought to inquiry and seen through. Why is there nothing that can't be brought to inquiry and seen through? Because everything that would result in an unforgiving thought is based on misidentification, and any identification other than our truth is wrong. You know, what has the cancer? The body. Am I the body? You can go deep into who am I? What am I? Deep into awareness, watching awareness, meditation, and come to the realization, I am not the body. Then do I have cancer? Has there been any change? Is there any effect? No. And forgiveness happens. You know, raped by my uncle at age 13. You know, what is the identification there? The identification may be poor victim. Poor victim. Is poor victim what I am, or is that just a concept, just an idea? Go deep into inquiry, deep into awareness, and look, what am I? Have there been any effects? No. Right? Everything is the same. All misperceptions, all unforgiveness comes from a misidentification regarding who or what I am. Therefore, shifting the identification to the truth, forgiveness is automatic. Because it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it happened in the past, if it's happening now, like cancer in the body, or if it's a fear about the future. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't create an effect in what I am. And that's the only thing that genuinely matters. An unforgiving thought does many things. In frantic action, it pursues its goal, twisting and overturning what it sees as interfering with its chosen path. So let's imagine that someone comes to you with evidence that you are simply misperceiving, not even spiritual evidence, right? Like, Bob did not take that money. I'm certain Bob did not take that money. Here's what happened, you know. I'm pretty sure that you misplaced the money, remember? Blah, 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 blah.
No, I did not. Bob took that money.
Why? Why do I not want to listen to any evidence that I might be wrong? Because I'm identified now with that. That's a little piece of who I am. I am the one that Bob ripped off. And I have to be right about that. Right? And so I begin to fight for my misperception. And I've always thought it's funny. You know, I have experienced this way more times than I could begin to count. Just so many times when I'm talking to someone and, you know, and they're feeling unworthy, guilty, whatever. And I explain to them, or I attempt to explain to them, that that is not true. They're perfectly innocent. They've always been perfectly innocent. And the response is, yeah, but you just don't know what I've done. You see? That's what we do. You just don't know what I've done. That's the insistence that I'm right, because it's a part of my identification. It also happens with some people when you know, they have a perception that they're physically, you know, ugly or in some way physically unacceptable. And you say, you know, I think you're beautiful. Oh, no, you haven't seen my thighs or my varicose veins or whatever. You haven't, you know, you don't know. Right. Why? Because we are identified with our misperception. That's who I am. And so even if you present me with evidence to the contrary, I will deny your evidence, because I have to cling to my misperception, because it's a part of my identity. Watch your unforgiving thoughts go that far. When someone shows you evidence to the contrary, watch how you fight to hold on to your pain, because it's a part of your identity. An unforgiving thought does many things. In frantic action, it pursues its goal, twisting and overturning what it sees as interfering with its chosen path. It has no concern for anything that would appear to pose a contradiction to its point of view, right? It has no concern for anything that would appear to pose a contradiction to its point of view. Yeah, and Ken is looking at Byron Katie's questions, who would I be without this thought? Yeah, so it's not asking that question, right? It's not raising this to inquiry. Yeah. Now let's look at forgiveness. We've looked at an unforgiving thought and how that operates in us. Now let's look at forgiveness. Forgiveness, on the other hand, is still and quietly does nothing. This is a very, very interesting definition of forgiveness, because this is beyond the process of inquiry, which is a process we may need to go through. Inquiry is like a bridge. You know, if I think I've been hurt because Bob stole from me, I may need to go through inquiry in order to see that I've not been hurt. But forgiveness is the seeing that I've not been hurt. It's not even the inquiry. Inquiry is a tool to realize forgiveness. Forgiveness is that awareness that's already present that I've not been hurt. That is forgiveness. Presence, awareness, is synonymous with forgiveness. Forgiveness is still and quietly does nothing. It just is aware of the truth. So really, even though we use the language that we need to forgive, we aren't forgiving. We are shifting from misperception into forgiveness, which is a constant way of seeing with truth. We are shifting from misperception into forgiveness, which is a constant way of seeing with truth, with my true identity in place. There has been no effect. Forgiveness, on the other hand, is still and quietly does nothing, right? So forgiveness isn't practicing inquiry. Forgiveness is the realization we get to after we practice inquiry. Forgiveness, on the other hand, is still and quietly does nothing. It merely looks and waits and judges not. It welcomes truth exactly as it is. Forgiveness is the right mind. Forgiveness is presence. Forgiveness is awareness. Forgiveness is our true perspective. And then this ends with, do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do. Now, of course, that's kind of interesting, because if I'm all hot and heavy that Bob stole money from me, right? I'm angry. I want to kill Bob. I may not get from that perception to forgiveness if I do nothing. I need to practice inquiry. I need to raise this to doubt, raise my perception to doubt, right? So when this says do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do, what this means to me is do nothing from a wrong perspective. When you know you're in your wrong mind, when you are in pain, do not act on that. Do not call Bob and cuss him out. Do not call all your friends and tell them what Bob did to you. Do not do anything. Don't even, I would say, call the police. Not that there's anything wrong with calling the police. You know, you may need to call the police if someone is right now in danger, right? If you know that Bob's in the other room about to rape Sarah, you may call the police to help out, right? But if the money's gone, in that moment, while you're in your wrong mind, you do not need to call the police. There's no reason to. Nobody's in danger. Go instead to inquiry. Now, whether once you're in the right mind, whether you'll call the police or not, I'm not going to comment on. What I am commenting on is don't do anything from the wrong mind. Right? If there's immediate danger, then maybe you need to do something. But if there's not an immediate danger, you don't. Be clear on the difference. Do not do anything from your wrong mind. Instead, raise your way of thinking, raise your way of perceiving, raise your current identity to question. And then when you have reached the state of forgiveness, then let that state of mind show you what to do. Do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do through him who is your guide, right? Move to forgiveness first. Move to forgiveness first. Do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do. And then another little phrase that I've underlined here are just the words, certain of your ultimate success. Let me read the whole sentence to you, and then I'll focus on this. Do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do through him who is your guide, your savior, and protector, strong in hope and certain of your ultimate success. To me, ultimate success there is about awakening to my truth completely, so I never slip back into misidentification. And one thing that I notice is that the more I practice awareness, watching awareness, the more that certainty is a part of my beingness. I think we've all experienced, you know, the perception that, you know, everybody else is going to awaken, but not me. Have you guys felt that? Everyone else is going to, but not me. There's something wrong with me. It can never happen for me, right? That's a part of the ego thought system. It's not a part of truth. Truth is certain of your ultimate success. So the more we spend time looking at truth, the more we spend time focusing on awareness and becoming aware of awareness, the more that certainty becomes a part of our beingness. Do nothing then from the wrong mind, and let forgiveness show you what to do. Shift into forgiveness, and then you'll know what to do, if anything. Do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do through Him who is your guide, your Savior, and protector, strong in hope and certain, certain of your ultimate success. We shall awaken to our true identity. It's natural to do so.